When you can realize that what God has done for you was not because of your goodness, but because of His goodness. If that don't make you want to shout, I don't know what will. Time that you read the Bible this week. So I thought I'd better read more than one verse, amen. I'm trying my best to get you to read the Word of God, and it's not so much that I want you to read it, I want you to do it after you read it. When I stand before the Lord, I want to be able to tell him that I got a few to go along with me. Luke chapter 12, begin at verse 13, you'll find these words. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Right. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Mm-hmm. Now listen to this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Yeah. I want to talk about the rich fool. The rich fool. I call him Mr. Big Stuff, the rich fool. Jesus had been preaching to a great number of people that were so innumerable until they began to troll on one another in the crowd.
Amen.
While he had taught them some rich things about who to fear and how to have a reverent fear towards God. He even spoke to them and said that whosoever shall confess me before men shall the Son of Man confess before angels and God. And while he was teaching, someone from the crowd cried out and said to him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. Now, we don't know a lot about what was the situation, but Jesus, knowing all things, knew that there was a problem here.
Yes, sir. Right.
Obviously, the father had died and left an inheritance for his two sons. Now, under Jewish law, according to Deuteronomy chapter 21, the eldest son would be the son of the father's strength and would ordinarily and automatically get a double portion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But this one would get something, but not as much.
Right.
Let me break it down. In other words, if daddy left 15,000, 10,000 would go to the oldest son and 5 would go to the younger. But it seems to me, and it seems like Jesus makes this plain, that the young man wasn't satisfied with what he got. He wanted the brother to break him off a little some. In other words, divide this in half. 7,500 seems sufficient to break it in half. But Jesus wasn't having it. He said, man, who made me judge over you? I'm here on my father's business. I'm not here to be your arbitrator. I'm not here to take care of civil matters. I'm on a mission from God. And besides, he knew something about this young man. Just like he knew the widow, that was all he had. He knew something about this young man. And he knew that his problem was covetousness. And covetousness does not always come from need. It comes more from greed. And so after he said, who made me divide over you? He said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Watch out. Be on your guard. Beware. Don't be greedy. Beware of covetousness. Watch out for it. Now, the problem with this sin, it's such a heinous sin, such a criminal sin, until most of the people who are covetous don't know it. You can be covetous. And right now in the church, you've been praising God and you've been thanking him, but just as covetous as you could be. It's a subtle sin. So subtle that you don't always know that you're committing the sin of covetousness. He said, man's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing which he possessed.
Right.
Behind a car not too long ago, and it had a bumper sticker on the back, and it said, he who dies with all the toys wins. And I said, man, what? You ain't taking it with him. I was thinking about that Geico commercial where Flo was up there watching all the people go by. They said, this is where you get the bundle. Yeah, they drive a car and then they pull in a trailer, and the trailer got motorcycles, and the trailer got a trailer behind that, and it got a house, and then it got a van, and then it got one of them cars that jump up and down on it, and all this stuff. I said, they got all the toys, but they ain't taking nothing with them.
That's right.
Win what? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You're not taking anything with you. Beware of covetousness. Take heed. Watch out for it, because life does not consist in the abundance of things that you have. The sin is an inordinate desire. As a matter of fact, the Bible makes it plain that in the Bible, covetousness is seen in three different ways. It's first, it's seen through the gain of things dishonestly.
That's
Then there is an inordinate desire to have things and to love money. But the primary reason, and what we see in the text, is it's a wish to have more than one possesses, and it's based upon greed and not need. It's really being dissatisfied with what God has given you. God has blessed you, but that ain't enough. You have everything you need, but it ain't enough. You got a good-looking wife, but you want somebody else's. That's what Paul said. Paul said, covetous is a subtle sin. As a matter of fact, Paul said, I didn't even know I had it. Amen. He said, I didn't even know. Over in Romans 7:7, he said, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Amen. Sometimes you don't even know you have it until you lose something that you covet. Amen. Sometimes you covet things and you don't realize you covet things and you love things instead of loving God. Now listen, it's all right to have nice things. But when nice things have you covet them. And here's how I discovered it. I used to have a GTO, Pontiac GTO convertible. That's a bad car. Had that tri-power, them reduced carburetors up in that bad boy. That thing could go. I'd be laying rubber all over the place. Amen. GTO, it was gas, tires, and oil. I didn't care. I just ran with that. And I didn't know how much I coveted that car until one day I got off from work and went to the parking place where I left it, and it wasn't there. I didn't realize how I coveted that car, but I got sick to my stomach. Till they found my car. When they found my car, it was out in Belleville in a cornfield. Stripped. I never loved the car again. I felt like it had been violated. Have you been like that? Have you ever had your house broken into and people went all through your drawers and you felt just violated? Looked at all your personal stuff that you thought you had hid. Oh, I'm getting too personal. Been in your nightstand, seen some of your toys. I know, it's getting hot up in here. Beware of covetousness. Beware. It's subtle. It can creep upon you. Be content. What God has given you. Listen. Discontentment with one half, it goes against the scriptures in Hebrews 13:5. It says, let your conversation or your daily life or your manner of living be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, if you got Jesus, you got enough. Don't worry about what your brother got, what your sister got. Be thankful for what you got. I found out a long time ago, a good way to keep jealousy from coming up in you is just to be thankful for whatever you have. Covetousness, very grave sin. Heinous sin. As a matter of fact, it says over in 1 Corinthians 6, it excludes a man from getting into heaven. That's right. The scripture says in Colossians 3:5, it's called idolatry or God switching, saying that you love it more than you love God. Be careful. Watch out. Take heed of covetousness. Beware of it. It can become a snare to you. Listen. It says, I know in 1 Timothy 6:7, it says, for we brought nothing into the world, certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You got food and clothes, be content. Amen. I know you got 50 pairs of shoes, be content. I know DSW having a sale, be content. The women ain't saying nothing. They ain't talking about me at all. I don't know what you talking about, Rev. If it's 40% off, shame on you. I know you ain't hearing me. I know. You ain't hearing me. Amen. Gonna get you 50 more pairs. Amen. This is what it said in verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. It's those who run after it is what he's talking about. Ain't nothing wrong with being rich. If you got some sense, amen. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. In the NIV it says, is the root of all kinds of evil. For the love of money is the root, and therefore, while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
My Lord.
When you begin to trust things, you no longer trust God.
Amen.
When you can trust what you have put in the bank, what you have stored up, or what you have, if you trust Social Security and your pension more than you trust God, shame on you. Do you not know that everything you got, you can lose it just like that? A fire, a flood, airplane can fall on your house, anything can happen. And if God don't take it from you, he can take you from it. Did you hear what I said? If you're holding on to anything more than you're holding on to God, you're already committing the sin of covetousness. It's subtle. It creep up on you. It's idolatry.
Yeah.
We're to flee from it. Yeah. Ephesians 5:3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness not ought to be named among you as becoming saints.
Yeah.
Paul warns in 2 Timothy, he said, for men shall be boasters of their own self. Covetous? Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Time is coming, and we live in a time of a most covetous age. And we call it the American dream. But it's turning into an American nightmare. Jesus said, your life consists of more things than what you have. Because what you have is temporary.
Yeah.
Did you not realize that? Even your children don't belong to you.
Yeah.
Nothing you have is forever. Except your faith in God.
Yeah.
So Jesus pushing to let people understand through parable. He talks about covetousness or the characteristics of covetousness.
Right.
By saying in this parable, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Had a good crop year. Bumper crop. And he became perplexed, and he says, and he thought within himself, what shall I do? Probably lost some sleep over it. He said, I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And then he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now at first glance, this sounds like a plan to me.
Right.
People never plan to fail. But they often fail the plan.
Yeah.
He had a plan. It sounds like a good retirement plan.
All right.
Did you not know that in the United States, most people who retire with less than $10,000 in the bank.
Amen.
Wow. That's a fact.
Wow.
Some of y'all getting ready to retire. Y'all better hold on to that job. Amen. Don't you rely on pension and Social Security. You better trust God. Amen. Amen. People taking a buyout. No, you better stay there. Now, I know some of y'all got some deep pockets. I found out Deacon got offshore accounts. Amen. He got some over there in Switzerland. Don't say nothing, Deacon. I don't want anybody to know what I'm talking about. Amen.
Amen.
But life does not consist by the thing that you possess. Amen. Learning to be satisfied with what God has given you. At first, look at this particular parable. It seemed like it's a good plan. He don't have any room to put all of his stuff. So what he's going to do is he's going to tear down his barns, and he's going to build greater barns and put things up, and then he's going to relax, take it easy, retire. And got for many years he'll have stuff put up, and he's going to eat, drink, and be merry.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right.
Sounds like a good plan. But there's something wrong with the plan.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Nowhere in all. Let me read it back to you. Now, maybe if I read it back to you, you'll see what's wrong. Let me read it the way I want to read it and pronounce some of the personal pronouns of I and my. This is what he said. He said, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." Did you hear God mentioned in any of that? Did you hear anything that would seem to make this man thankful to God for all that he had? That's a problem. To make your plans but don't include God in your plan. Nowhere did you hear him say, "Because I have such a surplus, I'm going to give something to the poor. I'm going to give some to Forgotten Harvest. I'm going to give some to United Negro College." You don't hear him saying anything like that. You don't hear him say, "I'm going to bring 10% to the church." Now, I'm preaching this for all you covetous Negroes who don't want to tithe to God. See, I know there's only two kind of people in the church that are Christians: those that tithe and those that will not tithe. There is none, "I cannot tithe." It's just, "I won't tithe." You can tithe because God wouldn't tell you to do something you are incapable of doing. You can tithe. You just won't do it. Why? Because it's all about you. My, I, and me. And not about God. Nowhere does he say, "First of all, I want to thank God for this crop. Because I realized that it was God that sent the rain. It was God that allowed me to have the seed to put in his ground. It was God that allowed the sun to shine upon the crop and produce the crop." It was all about God. It wasn't about you, farmer. It was God all along. He rains on the just and the unjust. He sent the blessing, but you didn't think you were responsible enough for the blessing to give him back anything.
Yes, sir.
He didn't talk about tipping God. Amen. That's some of y'all doing it. Y'all come in here and tip God. Amen. You on tithe, you like to tip. Yeah. You give an offering of $10, you can't have a whole lot. Now, you'd have bought liquor, cigarettes, weed. Been to the nudie bar, been down to the casino and gambled. And you come in here and want to tip God for $10 and think you're doing something. Am I preaching to you yet? I wish I had all the money you spent on weed, cigarettes, alcohol, lottery ticket, and you ain't never hit the lottery for more than $15. What am I talking about? Talking about what you dream. I'm in the right place. I know where I am. Covetous people will not tithe. Will not give 10% to God, and He blessed you to have the 100%. You don't want to talk about, well, God, there go your quarter. The plan comes to nothing because He sounds like a lot of us. You see, we live in a Western culture where the culture teaches us about the three P's. The three P's are passion, profit, and power. Everybody wants that. That's why we go to school. To get not just to get the education. We want to get the good job. We want to get the good job so we can get the big house. We can get the big car. We can get all the nice things. We can buy our clothes. We can do all that stuff. Get the pretty wife or the pretty or handsome husband. Have pretty children. And we don't fool yourself. We look at who we get married, thinking about what kind of kids they might produce. Oh yes, we do. You don't just fall in love with anybody. Amen. I fall in love with an ugly man. I don't care how much money he got. Amen. All your children are going to look like, you know, like they make gorilla cookies. You know what I'm talking about? You. I know y'all don't want to talk about that. I know. I'm sorry. We'll talk about that another time. Amen. And see, women got the edge. Men be trying to get anything they can get. But women got the edge. No, you better... You better talk to the hand going down the line of him. Ain't nothing happening here. You ain't gonna make no cute babies. Amen. So we get caught up in this thing and a passion. We live in a sex drenched environment and culture. We want profit. Everybody wants to profit. And it sounds like, what's wrong with making a profit? There's nothing wrong with making a profit, but you must include God in that. And then we want power. We want to be able to tell somebody what to do. Amen. You some of y'all in a relationship where they want to have power over you. People want to have control over you. They want to have control over all their bad habits, but they want to have control over you. Am I talking to somebody up in here? They don't have control over nothing in their life, but they want to have control over you. Then it ain't the three P's, it's the three C's. Clothes, cars, and cash. Because we want to impress people. I was at a funeral, and the preacher was there. I hadn't seen him in a little while, and we were talking for a few minutes after the funeral. He ran out to the parking lot and got in his Mercedes and pulled it around in front of the church and started blowing the horn, talking about, Twyman! Now, he had already told me goodbye, but now he wants me to see his Mercedes. I'm not impressed. I would have looked at the front. If it didn't have a little windshield wipers on the headlight, that don't impress me. Amen. I'm not impressed with cars. Clothes are how much cash you got. That don't impress me. I'm impressed me with a godly attitude. You see, we live in a time where we're searching for the American dream. We're in what's called the pursuit of happiness. When we need to be in the church in a pursuit of holiness. We need to pursue in God to be in holy. For God said, be ye holy, for I'm holy. If you're in pursuit of happiness, here's what you need to do. Go to McDonald's and get you a happy meal. Then you'll be happy. Happiness don't last for a little while anyhow. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. This is the joy of Jesus. Trying to impress somebody with you.
All right.
down. That's why when you bring your Louis Vuitton purse, you want to sit up high so everybody can see that elevator. And everybody knows it's a knockoff anyway because you can't afford no Louis Vuitton. You got a Coach purse, but you ain't got no cash to put in your Coach purse. You ain't impressing nobody. When everybody look at the label in your clothes to see who bought your clothes, I don't care who you bought them from, they're your clothes, amen. I'm not impressed by the label on the inside of your clothes. I said, man, don't you know, this is such and such a suit. Man, that's your suit. I'm not impressed.
Help us, son. Help us.
We're name droppers.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Beware of covetousness.
Yes, sir.
We commit the sin and not really knowing it, knowing that we've been caught up in the culture of this world in this time and don't realize that we're not to be like this. We're to be godly people.
Yes.
So again, we look at this parable. God gave the ground, the rain, the seed, the sunshine, and the crops. Now, first of all, the man was already rich. And notice that Jesus said a certain rich man had a bumper crop and brought forth much. And all he could think about was his problem was that I got a storage problem. Really, you got a greed problem. You have a selfish problem. You make everything about you. You know anybody like that? You make everything about them. Talking about soul, take thine ease. Now he did realize he had a soul. You got one too. Everybody in here got a soul. I got a soul, you got a soul, everyone got children got a soul. When we get to heaven, we're going to take our soul up there too. Amen. Your soul does not require what your body needs.
Amen.
You cannot feed your soul natural food. It can only be fed with spiritual food. And believe me, I know they got soul food, but beans and rice ain't the kind of food I'm talking about. Neckbone won't feed your soul. Amen. The Bible is full of soul food. Food that will enrich your soul until you become rich in goodliness, rich in godliness, rich in faith, rich in doing the will and the work and the word of God. You can be rich and be broke and have no money, but still rich in Jesus. Got a soul. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, I think it says that the Lord breathed into the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. A living soul. That's what you are. A soul that will live long after your tongue is cleaved to the roof of your body. Long after your soul will, your soul is destined for eternity. And either it will end up in hell or heaven. There's only those two places. So what does your soul need? He said, soul, take it easy. No, you can't tell your soul to take it easy. Because in the very next verse, after he has made this proclamation and made his plan, he said, but God said. You see, you got to watch out that conjunction, but. But God said. Oh, be careful, my brothers and sisters, when you make your plans and don't include God in your plans, because God always can step in. The choir was saying he's sovereign. In other words, he can do whatever he wants to do. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, this night you're going to die. And then he said, and not only will you die, he said, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In other words, who's going to get everything you work so hard for? Who's going to get all the toys? Amen. See, I've been in those situations. I've been over those houses where somebody died and everybody was going through all what they left. Talk about Auntie told me I could have this fur coat if she ever died. Auntie ain't told you nothing. Going all through Mama's jewelry box. Mama said if anything happened to me, I could have this diamond. Mama ain't said nothing. Uncle told me if he died, I could have his car. Uncle ain't told you nothing. We just lying, talking about waiting on somebody to die to get something we don't deserve in the first place. Shame on you. You just covetous. Dissatisfied with what God has given you. But God said, God's always going to have the last word. Man proposes, but God disposes. God said, listen what it says in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring. James warns us about tomorrow. James 4:13-15. He says, today and tomorrow we'll go into a city and continue there and buy and sell and get gain. And he says, well, you know not what shall be on the morrow. You don't know what tomorrow going to bring. And then James says, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. He said, your life is only smoke. Your life is only steam. Your life is just a vapor. That's all. That's all it is. You might be some good looking vapor, but you just vapor. You might be some good clothes wearing vapor, but you just vapor. You might be some good driving vapor, but you just vapor. That's all you are. Vapor is that steam that comes out the steam iron. It's that steam that comes out the tea kettle. It's not out the tea kettle. It's neither liquid, it's neither solid, it's gaseous. That's all you are, just a big puff of gas. Y'all like that, do you? This is a reality check. That's all your life is. You just vapor. Now, prior to this time, God told the parable about a rich man, and now God has called him a fool. So what he is, he's really vapor fool. Now, that's not about the worst thing in the world, to be a vapor fool. A vapor, that's a fool. But that's all you are, is vapor. What you ought to say, this is what James said, what you ought to say, if the Lord will. If the Lord says the same, we shall live and do this or that. You got to put the Lord in your plan, for everything you do is subject to the will of God. First thing you need to do is start thanking him for what he's done. Then you start thanking him for what he's doing right now. Then you thank him for what he promised that he would do. Now, I tell you, if you just start thanking God enough, you won't have as many problems as you think you have. You got to put the Lord in the plan. Primary purpose of this whole parable is to teach the selfishness of covetousness with the personal pronoun I and mine. Yes. He had a plan, but his plan was faulted by the fact that he only thought about himself. He thought about what he was going to do. He'd go down and get a builder permit to hire an architect, build greater barns, tear down these. But God said, my fool, this night thy soul shall be required. It's all right to make plans. It's all right when you make plans for what you want to do, what you're going to do, but you need to include God in the plan. See, plans have a way of changing. That's why sometimes it's good to have a plan A, a plan B, and even a plan C. But we live today in a state of procrastination. We're always talking about what we're going to do tomorrow. We say we're going to read the Bible more, but we're not going to read today because we're sleepy, so we'll do that tomorrow. We're going to pray more. We're going to pray. I'm going to start praying for a whole hour every day, but not today. I'll pray tomorrow. I'm going to get up every morning and go for a walk, but my foot hurt today, so that ain't happening today. It'll happen tomorrow. And don't you know the diet always starts tomorrow? Amen, amen. You pass, I'm going to go on a drive, but I can't go in the middle of the week. I got to wait for Monday or at least till tomorrow. And you can have Jenny Craig's phone number, 1-800-JENNY, in this hand, and have a host of Twinkie in this hand. Jenny ain't getting no call today. She might get a call tomorrow. I'm going to quit playing that lottery. That number ain't going to never come out, but I ain't going to quit today because I got a feeling. I'll quit tomorrow. I'm going to pay back that money I owe him. I'm so tired of him calling me, but he ain't going to get that money today. Maybe he'll get it tomorrow. You crying, come on, I'm going to break up with that married man. He ain't going to never leave that woman. But I ain't going to do it today. He just texted me. He wants to see me. I break up with him tomorrow. I'm going to quit drinking because they ain't going nothing but, oh Lord, I didn't know I had this fifth in the cabinet. I just make me a little hot toddy for medicinal purposes. I'm going to give up these cigarettes. just smoking it. Oh, I got half a pack here. I'll quit tomorrow. The same thing about everything we talk about we're going to do today, tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm going to budget my money better tomorrow. I'm going to quit spending everything. I'm going to quit going to the mall and buying stuff to make myself feel better. I'm going to quit, but I can't do it today because they got a sale at DSW. I've had to do it tomorrow. I'm taking this Visa, this Discover card, and this. Between the three of them, I'll be able to get some shoes. Amen. Okay, take $17 off of this one. Take $10 off of this one. Well, I know that's how you do it. Amen. I'm going to do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. The whining said, but tomorrow. Very well, may be too late. You better do something today. We procrastinate. We talk about what we'll do tomorrow. But now the parable really changes to the point where we understand it's not only about covetousness, it's about being rich toward God. For this is the case of a person that God can say, this night thy soul shall be required. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, but tonight, this day. Tonight thy soul shall be required. And then who's going to get all the stuff that you left? Not being rich toward God. We had the three P's and the three C's, but we need to concern ourselves about the three T's, the time, talent, and treasure. That's what we give to God. We give him the three T's. We give him our time because it's his time anyway. We give him the talent because he gave us the talent to give back to him. And then we must give up our treasures to him because everything we treasure, God gave to us. It's just a matter of giving back to God. God gives good stuff. We have to learn to give it back to him. See, God knows all about you. And if you knew all about God, you would give to him. Amen. Nobody knows you as much as God knows you, or know more about you than God. For he knows all about you. So, we need to understand that everything we do is based upon what we do for God. God can say, this night. And he don't have to wait till you have a headache or pain. He can say, this night. He don't have to ask you how you feel about it. He can say, this night. It don't have to be according to your will because his will must be done. God does not need your permission. He does not have to wait for you to make out a will. He does not have to wait for you to get burial insurance. He can say this night. You can leave the doctor's office with a bill of health and God can still say this night. So I'm warning you that not only beware of covetousness, you need to live in a ready state. So when God said this night, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
To be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, let me bring this to a close. For God says that in the parable, the Lord said this night. And I love the way that transposes to a time where Jesus would tell a thief on the cross this day. I love how this night talks of an ending and a calamity of death. But this day means there's hope in eternity. Well, it has been said that Satan was celebrating the fall of man. That he called all of his demons together to celebrate how man had failed. He began to have a party. Oh, they were doing the hustle. They were doing the limbo. All kinds of music was going on. They had one of the imps as a DJ playing all kind of music. And it seemed that a party was dying down. And Satan, he said, I need to spit up the party a little bit. So he said, I will give one third of my kingdom to any demon that can come up with a plan to keep man down. Well, it seemed that one of them took him at this note. And he started out by saying, I have observed man. And it is my observation that man is very religious. A man was created to worship God, but he won't worship anything. He'll worship a rock. He'll worship a stone. He'll worship a woman. So it is my plan that you take this religious man and you fool him in false religion. Put him in cults and have him to worship false deities. And the devil said, it sounds like a plan. But another demon got up and said, well, it has been my observation that yes, man is religious, but let him go ahead and worship God, but tell him he must work for his salvation. Let him go out and knock on doors and tell people this is the way to the kingdom. Don't let him understand what grace and mercy is all about. Let him work for it, his salvation. The devil said, it sounds like a plan. Well, there was another him that got up and said, well, I have to observe mankind, and man is very sensual. Well, he's driven by sexual motivation, sexual gratification. So I'm going to invent fornication and incest, adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, and pornography. I can believe that I give man all of these things and one day put them on the internet. I'll keep man down and he will not serve the Lord. The devil said, that sounds like a good plan. I will implement that one right away. But then there was another hymn that said, well, it has been my observation that man is egotistical and he's a deep thinker. He's a philosopher. He challenges things. And so why don't you just tell him God don't exist? Tell him that he's all that he ever been made. And let him become an atheist. And he don't need to believe in God at all. And the devil said, well, that sounds like a plan. He's secular. He's humanist. He'll believe in evolution. Yeah. Well, then there was another imp that got up and He said, I got it. I got it. That I have observed mankind. And man loves a good time. He's a socialized being. We just let him entertain himself to death. We let him dance and prance, drink himself with drugs and alcohol. And man in that state will never be in the right mind and never worship the Lord. The devil said, I believe I'll implement all of these things. You brothers have made some very good observations. Well, one old demon sitting over in the corner, he begins to wave his head and say, well, I got it, I got it, I got it. And when he went over to the devil, he had that old pimp walk. You know that old pimp walk? When he walked over there, and he said, I got it. I know everybody meant well, but I got what it takes to keep man down. I said, if you implement my plan, man will never, never, never be saved. And he whispered in the devil's ear, and the devil said, that's it! You win the prize. Everybody around there wanted to know, what did he say? All he said, just tell man he got tired. Did you hear what I said? Tell man he got tired. Not today, but tomorrow. Tell him not today, but next week. Tell man he's got time. Oh yeah, use your drugs, use your sexuality, use the social aspect, but just tell man he's got time. But God could say, this night, this night, thy soul shall be required. This night, you need to know that this could be the last time we used to sing that song. This may be the last time. I just don't know. It may be the last time. Man is a fool. He thinks he has time. Well, Jesus tells the thief as a promise. Not this night, but this day. You will be with me in paradise. You'll die on the cross like me, but I promise you this day, not tomorrow, not next week. I don't know how you feel about it. I'd rather have Jesus say to me, this day, rather than this night. This day, you'll be with me. I want to be where Jesus is. I want to hear him say, now good and faithful servant, welcome. Well done, well done. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up. A little higher. Well done. Jesus died. They buried him in a bottle tomb. He stayed there Friday. Stayed all day Saturday. But the record said early Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. I could see him walking into the kingdom. And they said, who is that with you, Jesus? We don't know his name. Jesus said, this was a man who I promised. This day, you'll be with me in paradise. Now they took roll call and say, who is that with him? Is it Moses? No, it ain't Moses. Is it Abraham? No, it ain't. Name. We just know that Jesus made him a promise. Just like Jesus made the thief a promise, he made all of us a promise that we will be with him in the kingdom of heaven. Brothers and sisters, beware of covetousness. Beware of ungratefulness. Beware of being unthankful. Everything you have, God has given it to you. Bless other people with what you have. Learn to share what God has given you. Believe me, you've got more than enough. Never be dissatisfied with what God has given you. You may not have a whole lot, but believe me, you have enough. And if you have faith in God, you're already rich. Well, I went past my time a long time ago. Stand to your feet.
Help yourself.
The door of the church is open.